fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. I am Silver. Hooray!
Late one afternoon in a southern Missouri town, three outlaws named Dude Keller, Bronc Moriah, and Dakota entered a cafe. After ordering a meal, Dude took a copy of the local paper from his pocket. He was reading it with interest while Bronc and Dakota grumbled.
If our luck don't change soon, we won't have cash enough to buy many more meals.
I'd like to make a big cleanup. Just one more big job is all I want.
What do you mean big?
That'll give me money enough to cross the border and live without turning a hand for the rest of my life.
You don't want much.
Well, I'm fed up with dodging the law in this country, living from hand to mouth.
I'll settle for a holdup that'll pay us a couple of $1,000 apiece.
Yeah, that's your trouble, Bronc.
Huh?
You're satisfied to settle for petty thievery.
Yeah, listen to who's talking. Mr. Big himself. Did you hear that, dude?
Yeah.
Dakota's getting big ideas.
So am I.
Huh?
You are?
Listen to this. Fred Strike at Rich Bates, the prospector who staked claim to millions of dollars worth of gold in California, purchased the Paletta Diamond as a birthday gift for his wife. The purchase price was not disclosed by Mr. Bates or the New York firm of jewelers who secured the celebrated jewel for him. The millionaire announced that armed guards would bring the Paletta Diamond from New York to San Francisco.
What's the Paletta Diamond?
Oh, one of the biggest sparklers in the world, Brock.
Must be plenty valuable.
It's worth a fortune.
Is that an old paper, dude?
No, it came out yesterday.
When did Bates buy the diamond?
Well, according to their story here, he bought it 2 weeks ago. His wife's birthday is the 25th of the month.
A week from now?
That diamond is on its way to Frisco right now.
I'd like to find out more about it.
So would I. And I know just the fella to answer questions.
Who?
Deputy Sheriff Pete Salmon. We used to be pals before he turned lawman.
And you turned crook.
Yeah. You boys wait here while I go see what he knows about that diamond.
Almost an hour passed before Dude returned to the cafe.
Boys, Ed Diamond's due to reach town tonight on the westbound train.
You sure?
Pete Salmon told me so himself.
He must be loco to give out that kind of information.
Wouldn't have given it to anyone else. He trusts me.
Where's the sheriff?
On his way to territorial prison with a couple of killers.
And it's a two-day trip.
Yeah, Pete's in charge of the office while he's gone. He'll be at the station tonight to meet the train when the guards get off with that diamond.
What's to stop us from stealing the diamond?
Nothing, as far as I can see. That's why I volunteered to go to the station with Pete. To serve as an extra guard.
Good.
Now, this is how I figure we can work it. The westbound will pull in at 11:10 tonight. You two be waiting in the dark near the station.
Scheduled for a 14-hour stop before continuing its westward journey, the train reached town a few minutes early that night. Dude Keller was on the station platform with Deputy Pete Salmon when the two guards stepped from a car. The lawman approached them and asked for identification.
I'm Ed Jackson. This man's Henry Brown. These are our credentials.
Oh, fine. I'm Deputy Sheriff Pete Salmon.
How are you?
And it's my friend, Dude Kelly.
You fellas policemen?
We work for the company that insured the stone.
Well, I have orders to cooperate with you fellas, so just tell me what you want done.
You have a safe in your office, Deputy Salmon?
I sure do.
Well, we'll keep the diamond there and stand guard till the train's ready to leave town.
That suits me. Come on, I'll take you to the office.
Accompanied by Dude Keller, the deputy sheriff and the two Easterners left the station and headed up the dark street toward the sheriff's office. They had only a short distance to go when Bronk and Dakota stepped in front of them.
Just keep walking, Pete. Uh-huh. And don't try a fast move. You're covered.
Get your gun, dude.
Don't reach for yours, Pete.
What's the idea?
You're holding a gun on me.
These fellas are crooks.
And I'm working with them.
Oh, you dirty double-crossing rat. I thought you were on a level.
Yeah, you thought wrong. Now keep quiet and keep walking to the sheriff's office as if nothing had happened. Open the door and go inside. And remember, we'll be right behind you.
The first one to make a sound or try a sudden move will stop lead.
Now get going.
Covered by Dude and his friends, the insurance man and Deputy Pete Salmon had no choice. The street was so nearly deserted that no one noticed them enter the sheriff's office.
Keep him covered, boys, while I lock the door.
Yeah, you won't get away with this, Dude.
Shut up, Pete. Yeah, the door's locked.
Good thing the shades are drawn. No one can see what's going on in
I'll
here.
I'll take their guns. Then we'll get the diamond. Tie and gag all three of them, lock them in cells, and clear out of here.
The engineering conductor on the train will miss us.
They won't miss you till the train's ready to leave town 14 hours from now. And by that time, we'll be a long way from here.
Within a few minutes after the diamond had been taken, the prisoners were securely tied and gagged. Then the outlaws dragged them into a cell.
That does it, boys. Now lock the cell door. We'll take the keys with us.
Let's get out of here, dude. You got the diamond?
Yeah, we're all set, Bronk. Come on, Dakota, out the back door.
Right.
So long, Pete. And thanks for the diamond.
The horses are ready to travel.
Head southwest for the border. Hit the saddle.
Yeah, hey, definitely there.
All right, let's go.
Get up there.
The thieves traveled hard that night and most of the following morning. At noon, the sun was high and the horses, as well as the men, were tired. Dude signaled a halt in the hills overlooking a stretch of railroad track.
There's a spring over there with plenty of water for us and the horses.
I'd like to spread my blanket on the ground. Get a few hours' rest.
We'll all rest and start traveling again when the sun goes down.
Yeah, that suits me.
Let's see that diamond, dude.
Yeah. It's the size of a small rock.
Let's have the leather pouch. I'll open it.
Yeah.
I wonder how much it weighs. Oh, look at it, Bronk.
It beats me how a thing like that can be worth so much money.
This is the cleanup I've been waiting for.
Well, put it back in the pouch, Dakota, before you drop it.
Who's going to carry it?
I will.
Why you?
Why not?
No reason, I reckon. Yeah.
I'll keep it till we've a chance to get rid of it.
I'll take the saddles off the horses while you two break out the grub. After I eat, I'm getting some sleep.
So am I.
The outlaws finished a meal, then stretched blankets on the ground. Bute and Bronk were soon asleep. Dakota lay awake thinking of the Paletta diamond and the money it would bring. He sat up and rolled a cigarette.
the three ways, we'll each get a lot out of it. But if there were no one to split with...
As soon as the thought entered his mind, Dakota realized that here was the chance of a lifetime.
There's no reason why it should be split three ways.
Though he was out of practice, Dakota had once been an expert pickpocket. He crept to Dude's side and carefully took the leather pouch containing the diamond from the sleeping outlaw. A few minutes after Dakota left the camp, Dude wakened. As he reached for his canteen to get a drink of water, saw that the former pickpocket was gone.
Mr. Bronk! Bronk, wake up! Dakota's gone, so's the diamond.
Gone.
Dirty double-crossing rat cleared out.
He's slow, could have figured we'd let him get away.
Saddle the horses while I look for tracks. We're going after him.
Dakota had reached the railroad tracks when Dude and Bronk started downhill after him.
Get up!
As they sighted their double-crossing partner, the westbound train appeared in the distance.
How are you, Bronk? Right along the track.
I see him.
Let him have it. Rough him.
Firing from the saddle in the reckless ride downhill, neither Dude nor Bronk was able to shoot accurately. But the gunfire alerted Dakota. He spurred his horse desperately and fired over his shoulder as the westbound roared toward him. Dude shouted,
"The train's between him and us. Hold your fire till it's past."
Bronk nodded and urged his horse to greater speed.
Get up, the car!
By the time Dude and Bronk drew rein, the train had passed. Dakota's horse stood beside the tracks, but there was no sign of the outlaw.
Where is he?
Gone.
His horse is all right. You figure Dakota was run over by the train?
Run over nothing. He boarded it.
Huh?
Saw us coming after him. In open country like this, he knew he couldn't get away from us, so he took a chance of swinging aboard the train.
He took a mighty big chance. That train was moving fast.
He's lucky he didn't break his neck. But he's about run out of luck. Grab the reins of his horse. We'll go after him.
We can't overtake a train.
From here on, the tracks run uphill for several miles. The engine will be moving slow.
Well, even so, our horses are tired.
We're going after him. I'll follow that rattler all the way to Kingdom Come if I have to. Come on, we'll travel alongside the track.
Get up.
Come on.
Aboard the train, Dakota clung to the side of an empty freight car. He was trying to think of a way to reach safety when a friendly voice called,
"Hi there, buddy.
Help me, will you?"
Take it easy. You'll be all right. Start climbing the ladder leading up here to the top of the car."
The leathery-faced little man wearing tattered clothes was kneeling on top of the car. He pointed to the ladder Dakota gripped. Obediently, the outlaw started climbing. A moment later, he reached the top.
"Good for you, partner. You made it.
Now where do we go?"
"The door in the side of this car is open. Getting inside, it'll be risky."
"Oh, then I'd better stay right here."
"You're scared, huh?"
"Yeah."
"I figured you weren't used to riding the rods when I saw you swing aboard. You did it all wrong."
"I made it."
"Doggone, you didn't. You in trouble of some kind?"
"What do you mean?"
"I saw those fellas chasing you. Some of their bullets came near hitting you."
"You don't miss much, do you, old timer?"
"Nope. Hastings, my name. Hard Luck Hastings."
"I'm Dakota."
"Glad to know you, Dakota. I can't say much for your luck."
"Huh?"
"You might have jumped from the frying pan to the fire, as the saying goes."
"What are you talking about?"
"Then you got away from the fellas who were gunning for you. There's a couple of trigger-happy railroad detectives aboard this train. You've been giving me trouble since I boarded in Kansas City."
"Why?"
"Well, they're gunning for fellas like you and me. They sworn to drive every hobo off the track."
"I'm no hobo."
"You're traveling without a ticket, ain't you?"
"Yeah."
"That makes you a hobo. But you're better off than I am. You got a gun. I sold mine in Kansas City for the price of a few meals."
"Too bad."
"Oh, well. I've had hard luck all my life. I'm kind of used to it by now. But I'm hoping it'll change when I hit California. I'm going prospecting."
Glad of a listener and a traveling partner, Hard Luck talked companionably. while Dakota considered the danger of his own position. He reloaded his gun and felt in his pocket to make sure the stolen diamond was still there. Satisfied that it was safe, he made himself as comfortable as possible. Several hours passed. Then Hardluck yelled,
"Look out, Dakota!"
"For what?"
"Those railroad detectives. There they are on the roof of the car's ahead.
They're shooting at us."
"Oh, dad rat the luck.
You want gunplay, huh?
You junkhead, put that gun away.
And stop a bullet?"
"They're not shooting to kill. They're trying to scare us off the train." "Oh!"
As Hardluck shrilled a protest, a bullet from a detective's gun grazed the side of his hand. Cursing Dakota for opening fire, Hardluck shouted,
"Jump, you muttonhead, while you're still alive!"
Acting on his own advice, the old man leaped from the swiftly moving train. Bullets from the detective's gun struck Dakota. The outlaw staggered, lost his precarious footing, and fell. Years of boarding and jumping from moving trains had taught Hardluck how to fall without being hurt. He hit the soft sand beside the railroad tracks and rolled down the side of a steep gully. He lay there silent and still till the train was out of sight. Then he started up the side of the gully to look for Dakota. Before he reached the top, he heard the sound of approaching hoofs.
Uh-oh.
Habitually cautious, the leathery-faced old-timer drew back to the security of the gully, hoping he would not be noticed. The oncoming riders were the Lone Ranger and his Indian friend, Tonto. The masked man and Indian had been only a short distance away when the train passed. Though muffled by the engine's roar and the clatter of wheels, they had heard the sound of gunshots and were hurrying to investigate. As they neared the track, Tonto shouted,
"Maybe outlaws are on the train."
"I hope not, Tonto. Come on, Phil.
Get up.
Then they saw Dakota lying beside the railroad track.
Hold him, hold
him.
Drawing their horses to a sliding halt.
He said he'd be caught.
They swung from the saddle.
"And him hurt plenty bad, Kemosabe?"
"Yes. Wounded twice.
Arm, leg broken."
"He's dead, Tonto."
"Not bad.
I'll see if he's carrying any identification."
As the masked man looked through Dakota's pockets, Hardluck looked over the top of the gully. He saw the Lone Ranger's mask, the Indian with him, and the brace of guns they wore.
Great sakes alive. Outlaws.
He was about to draw back out of sight when he saw the masked man take a leather pouch from Dakota's pocket. A moment later, the rays of the setting sun glittered on the Paletta diamond. Hardluck blinked and Tonto gasped.
"That diamond?
The Paletta diamond, Tonto."
"You sure?"
"Yes. After the robbery in Missouri last night, every lawman within reach of the telegraph was notified to be on the lookout for this stone."
"Me hear news of robbery and tell you about it. Me not think we find diamond."
"We'll take it to the sheriff in Carmel Creek."
"What about body?"
"We'll wrap it in a blanket and take it to town."
A short time later, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode away. As the sound of hoofbeats receded in the distance, Hardluck climbed out of the gully. He mopped his forehead with a dirty bandana and sat down to make plans.
"I reckon I'd better start walking to town."
The old man sighed heavily and shaded his eyes to study the sun.
"In another half hour or so, the sun will be down. It'll be cooler walking then."
Deciding to wait a while before starting for town, Hardluck went back to the gully. Sliding to the bottom, he rested his back against the side of the gully, out of reach of the sun's rays. A moment later, the penniless old-timer was fast asleep. Half an hour later, Hardluck was wakened when two riders drew rein a short distance from his hiding place.
"There might be more owl hoots."
The men who dismounted beside the track were Dude and Bronk. Bronk pointed to the ground.
"Look, dude.
Someone jumped from the train and hit the ground here."
"Jumped or fell. Look at the blood on the ground."
"Must have been wounded."
"You think it was Dakota?"
"Maybe. Hey, look, here's the tracks of two riders, Bronk."
"Yeah."
While Bronk and Dude studied the ground intently, Hardluck recognized them as the men who had been after Dakota. He saw the riderless horse with them and a chance to make some money. He crawled out of the gully and called,
"You fellas looking for
hey,
some
what
money? The... Hey, take it easy. There's no need to draw your six-shooters. I'm not armed."
"Make sure of that, Bronk. I'll keep him covered."
"Right.
Where'd you come from?"
"That gully over there."
"He's not armed, dude."
"And I've got no money either, so you might as well put away your guns."
"What are you doing here?"
I wouldn't be here if Dakota hadn't opened fire on the railroad detectives.
What's that?
It was a case of staying aboard the train and stopping lead or jumping to save my skin. I jumped.
What do you know about Dakota?
You want to know about him, huh?
Yeah, we want to know all about him.
What do you pay me if I tell you what I know?
Pay you? Why, you...
Take it easy, Brunk.
There's no need to get riled. I'm broke and I'm afoot. For a little cash or the extra horse you've got, I'll tell you all about Dakota.
It's a deal, old-timer. Start talking.
Well, he jumped aboard the train to get away from you two. I warned him about the railroad detectives, and sure enough, they showed themselves. Shooting over our heads to scare us off the train.
What about Dakota?
Well, he had a gun and started firing back at the detectives. I jumped off the train, rolled into the gully, and stayed there till I figured it was safe to come out. I saw Dakota over here near the tracks. He looked like he'd been wounded and he wasn't moving. Before I could get a good look at him, a couple of riders headed this way.
Riders?
Yeah. I dropped back into the gully. Instead of riding by, they stopped, examined Dakota, and emptied his pockets.
Well, that's gone.
I got a good look at that masked man and engine and the horses they rode.
Masked man?
That's right. They wrapped Dakota in a blanket and took him away.
And they've got the diamond to it.
Oh, so that's what they took from him.
Did you see it?
I saw the sun lighting up something shinier than anything I ever saw before. The masked man put it back into a pouch and put the pouch in his pocket.
We'll go after him, Brock.
Here are the tracks.
We'll follow him.
Hey, what about me?
You can have Dakota's horse, Teddy boy.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks a lot.
Hit the saddle, Brock.
Yeah, is it? I'm set to travel.
And let's go.
Get up. Get up. Come on.
Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto drew rein in the hills a short distance from the town of Carmel Creek.
I'll take the body and the diamond into town, Tonto.
It's not dark yet, Kemosabe. Plenty people see mask. Ask question.
I'll wear a pair of your buckskins and darken my face with stain. I know the sheriff, so as soon as I reach his office, I'll identify myself.
Ah, me savvy.
If you wait for me here, I'll join you in less than an hour.
Nearly an hour later, Dude and Bronk neared the place where Tonto waited for the return of the Lone Ranger. Expecting his disguised friend to arrive, the Indian was not alarmed by the sound of approaching hoofs. But when Tonto looked through the dense growth of trees and underbrush for the rider, he saw Dude and Bronk. At the sight of the Indian, they drew guns.
Don't try a fast move, Indian.
You're covered.
Why you draw a gun on me?
We want you and your mask, pal.
For what? Me not know you.
You found Dakota.
And the diamond he was carrying.
Now, where is he?
Where's the masked man?
Why, you want know?
We're asking the questions. You'll answer them. I'll keep him covered, Bronk. Disarm him. Then we'll search his gear.
Right.
You can save yourself a lot of trouble by telling us what you did with the diamond. We'll get it anyway.
Diamond not here.
As Tonto spoke, Bronk approached to take his gun. Tonto's hand flashed to his holster, but Dude fired. An instant before Tonto's gun cleared leather.
That was a warning. Now freeze or I'll blow your head off.
You plenty fast with guns.
Fast enough. Take his gun, Bronk.
You'd better not try another fast move, Injun.
Cut the palaver and take his gun.
All right.
That's better. Now then, Redskin, where's your mask, pal?
Right here.
Hey, what?
As the outlaws whirled...
No!
Silver bullets struck Dude's gun arm and smashed Bronk's weapon.
Keep your hands high unless you want more gunplay.
My arm? I'm hit, Dude. It's another Redskin.
You must have it. You get here just in time.
I wasn't far away when I heard gunplay here, Tonto. I dismounted and closed in on foot.
Hey, you don't talk like an Injun.
I'm not.
This masked man you look for.
What?
I'll keep them covered, Tonto, while you tie their hands. Then we'll take them to town and turn them over to the sheriff.
Them come here to get diamond.
I'm not surprised. Sheriff Burke showed me a telegram he received from Deputy Pete Salmon describing the thieves who stole it. The description fits these two perfectly.
Who dead man you take to town?
The third thief. The three of them work together.
Don't take it to jail, mister. Give us a chance.
We were double-crossed.
Save your breath for the trip to town.
An hour later, the Lone Ranger and Tonto left the thieves with Sheriff Tom Burks, in the jail in Carmel Creek. As the bearded lawman turned the key in their cell door, Bronk rubbed his eyes wearily.
Doggone if I can figure it out, dude.
Oh, I don't savvy the setup either, Bronk.
What setup don't you savvy, dude?
The masked man and the redskin. We were trailing our partner when we ran into the engine.
One minute we had guns on him, and the next minute his pal started shooting.
Before we knew what happened, our hands were tied and we were on our way here.
Well, cheer up, fellas. You're not the first crooks to find out that things move mighty fast when you tangle with the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, and directed by Fred Flowerday. Tonight's drama was written by Betty Joyce. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.